Crystal Faulkner, and this is Business Wise. My guest today is Janet Fletcher. Janet is the Associate Marketing Director responsible for the Thank You Mom campaign that we all love, Janet, as well as the U.S. Olympic program. And Janet, you've worked for Procter now for how many years?
27 years.
27 mm-hmm. years. But it has to be so amazing to be able to work on this Thank You Mom campaign and the Olympic team. How exciting is that?
It is exciting, Crystal. I've been working on the Olympics for 3 Olympics now, starting in Vancouver, last 5 years, and I really enjoy the work. So it's a good job.
Janet, I'm not much of a TV watcher, but I certainly saw many of those Thank You Mom campaigns, and it touched my heart. How did you come up with such a thing? It was so compelling.
Well, I think back in Vancouver, when we started working with the U.S. Olympic Committee, we had an opportunity to really speak with the families and the moms of the Olympians. And they shared with us their stories, their struggles along their journey to raise great kids. And what we realized is a lot of what they were sharing were things that any mom could relate to. And it gave us a unique angle. While other companies sponsored just the athletes, we had an opportunity to sponsor the hero behind the athlete who's not often recognized.
The wind beneath their wings, right?
Behind every athlete is an amazing mom. And that's what our products do, is we support every day, day in, day out, all those things that moms do for their families.
Well, clearly, I think it must have touched a lot of emotions. So let's talk about your involvement with the Sochi Olympic spot that became just such a viral hit.
That spot titled Pick 'Em Back Up, that spot has been viewed close to 20 million times just within the United States.
It almost made me cry. I mean, I loved watching that spot. I think it was with a little girl whose mother picked her up when she was in tears, and it was so emotionally connecting.
Well, it's the story of 4 athletes and their moms from the time that they were really little babies all the way through to the games. And it looked at the 4 primary sports in the Winter Olympics, so skiing, hockey, snowboarding, and figure skating. So it had a global appeal, and these stories were just incredibly touching to show the journey to the games.
So the marketing, it's just fascinating to me, because the whole moms campaign, you weren't really pushing Tide and Bounty, right? I mean, it was really much, much deeper than that. You were connecting with your audience and your target audience.
Well, if you think about it, our brands do a great job of sponsoring the athletes who represent performance. And it's a logical fit. So the company had a great opportunity to unify all of the brands that play on the Olympics with this higher order message. I mean, that's how they work together on the campaign. And so we will ultimately sell Tide, because Tide's message during the games will talk about performance, and we will sell Bounty, and it works together. It's a real integrated campaign.
Well, clearly it was brilliant. That's why you're the world's largest consumer products company, right, Janet? Thank you so much for being our guest, and thank you for listening to Business Wise. I'm Crystal Faulkner with Cooney Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Crystal Faulkner, and this is Business Wise. My guest today is Janet Fletcher. Janet is Associate Marketing Director at Procter & Gamble. She's responsible for the Thank You Moms campaign and for the U.S. Olympics program. And Janet, Procter & Gamble is very involved in terms of marketing and sponsoring several different sports types programs. Let's talk about the Olympics. And what is it about the Olympics that encouraged Procter to actually be such a prominent sponsor?
Well, when you think about it, there was a wonderful overlap between what is the mission of the Olympic movement and what is the purpose and the mission of P&G. So if P&G is about touching and improving lives, and the Olympics are about improving the world through sport, there was already a common thread between these two entities, if you will. And then what we found was a unique angle in who were we serving. Our brand supported the athletes, and P&G supports the moms and the families behind those athletes. So we had a unique role, a nice match that we decided to try in Vancouver, and we got business success. So we've now been with the program for the last 5 years.
Well, clearly it's a big success, isn't it? That whole Thank You Mom campaign is just remarkable. But you also sponsor the Sochi House, for example.
Yes, and a lot of people actually don't know about this, but on the ground at the Olympics, we have a P&G family home. And the idea behind that is it's a home away from home for our families. It was born from the insight that when you go to the Olympic Games, athletes have nowhere to meet their families. other than in their competition venue. So we leaned forward and sponsored creating a home away from home, a place where they can gather, have meals together, just have time away from the craziness and the pressure of the Olympic Games. And we've been doing this now for the last three games, as I mentioned. It's also an opportunity for them to experience our brands, whether it be the beauty and grooming salon, whether it be providing Pampers, whether it be a warm shave for the dads. Those are all sorts of things. We bring the comforts of home.
Well, Janet, what is your favorite part about watching that Thank You Mom It campaign? I know I have one. What's your favorite part?
I think for me, it's actually in the creation of the spot. You get to spend a lot of time with the Olympic families, and you start to join their journeys, and you hear their struggles and their sacrifices. And being able to bring that to life in a commercial and in a video is incredibly rewarding, Crystal.
I know you're a mom, I'm a mom, and I think even if you don't have an Olympic athlete for a child, all of the struggles, all those things that you just described, we as moms can relate to that so much in our children's lives. And I think for me at least, that's what the connection was. It's just really embodying that struggle and that support that goes along with being a mom to a child who is really trying to strive to achieve something.
Well, if you think about it, I simplify it by wanting to raise a great kid, someone who can stand on their own, who's learned those lessons. And I have two boys that were involved in athletics and a daughter who was involved in music. And it was all about supporting them on their mm-hmm. journey. It wasn't about the end point and winning. It was supporting them on their journey and helping them be the best person that they can.
Janet, thank you so much for being my guest.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening to Business Wise. I'm Crystal Faulkner with Cooney Faulkner and Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Crystal Faulkner, and this is Business Wise. My guest today is Janet Fletcher. Janet is the Associate Marketing Director at Procter & Gamble, responsible for the Thank You Mom U.S. Olympic program. Janet, it had to have been an amazing execution to pull off the Thank You Mom campaign for the Olympics. Procter also sponsors many other programs, such as the NFL, that mm-hmm. kind of thing. What are the logistics behind getting those sponsorships to go off as if there were no hitch at all? I'm sure there's lots of things behind the scenes people don't even think about.
There are a lot of things behind the scenes. The International Olympic Committee only has 11 what they call top sponsors around the globe. And as you can imagine, the Olympic rings in the Olympic movement is something that they are very, very protective of. So every execution that we do must be approved through the International Olympic Committee and the U.S. Olympic Committee for that matter. And there are thousands of executions from our brands, from the corporate campaign, from our retailers who do executions that all have to be approved. So behind the scenes, we've built an infrastructure and a well-oiled machine that is able to get these things through for approvals in real time, to post on Facebook, to post on Twitter, or to tweet something out, to get a TV ad approved, to get a video approved. All of that takes lead time and planning.
How much lead time? How much planning? For example, where are you at today working on something? At what point in the future?
For Rio 2016, it is an 18 to 24 month campaign. It will really heat up about 6 months before the Olympics starts.
That is so exciting, mm-hmm. though. It has to be so much fun for you to work on these.
I enjoy it.
So the Rio events in 2016, what type of early things do you work on now for that 18, 24 month time period?
Well, we are looking at athletes to sign for our campaign and our brands. We're making visits to Rio to check out the city and the facilities to figure out what we might do from a family home standpoint. Those are the sorts of things that early on logistically have to start getting into place.
Now, you mentioned the family home. The family home, again, is where?
P&G's family home is a home away from home. We provide hospitality and branded services for all of our athletes and our families.
Well, that's wonderful. Janet, thank you so much for being my guest and sharing that great information. And thank you for listening to Business Wise. I'm Crystal Faulkner with Cooney Faulkner and Stevens, your business advocate.
I'm Tom Cooney, and this is Business Wise. Our guest today is Scott Jacobs. Scott is the executive director at Queen City Angels. And Scott, I know Queen City Angels has been part of the entrepreneurial investment landscape in Cincinnati for quite a while. There's lots of other people involved in this in various ways. How does Queen City Angels fit into that entrepreneurial landscape?
Thanks, Tom. We actually work with a lot of the other partners in sort of the entrepreneurial eco-landscape. Organizations like the Brandery, Centrifuge, Cincy Tech, Innovate for Health, UC's Tech Accelerator, UpTech, GCVA, the Greater Cincinnati Venture Association, and the Hamilton County Business Center, which was recently named the number one incubator in the state. So we work with all these organizations to help entrepreneurs. So the idea is any entrepreneur can find the resources they need in order to get the advice they need to get a business plan written or to get their business scaled or to get investment. So we share information amongst the partners in the ecosystem, and we do everything out to help entrepreneurs and startups to be successful.
If you're an entrepreneur and you have a business that you've just recently started and you're going to need capital, how would they go about seeking funding from Queen City Angels?
Well, we have a fairly well-defined process for that, Tom. We actually ask the entrepreneur to fill out an application. There's a nominal application fee, and they submit a 5-page executive summary. I review that executive summary, make sure that it's got all the information necessary, and then it goes before our screening committee, and we get 2 or 3 angel investors that will take an hour with the entrepreneur, listen to their business model, listen to their value proposition, find out what it is that they're seeking. And then from that point forward, we have a screening report that's written, and then that's presented to all of our angel members.
Well, and if the entrepreneur doesn't know how to put together all that information for you, a good place for them to go is the boot camp that you've got coming up.
Yes, that event's actually going to be held June 30th and July 1st of this year over at the Health Foundation Interact for Health over in Norwood. And that is an extensive 2-day program where an entrepreneur can learn everything they need to know in order to write a business plan or make their business investable.
That sounds great. Scott, if people want more information about Queen City Angels or about the boot camp, where's the best place to contact you?
Best place to contact me as it relates to the boot camp is qcabootcamp.com. And if someone wants to email me to find out more information, they can email me at sjacobs@qca.com.
Well, Scott, thanks for that great information, and thanks for everything Queen City Angels does for the entrepreneurial community. For BusinessWise, I'm Tom Cooney. I'm with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Tom Cooney, and this is BusinessWise. Our guest today is Scott Jacobs. Scott is the executive director at Queen City Angels. And Scott, I know you're fairly new in this job as the executive director of the Queen City Angels. How did you first get involved with them, and what's your role now?
Yeah, thanks, Tom. I first got involved with the Queen City Angels as a volunteer, as a service provider, mentor for their morning mentoring program. That was probably about 8 years ago, and I found the program to be very stimulating and very exciting, and it was a great program. So that's how I first got exposed to the Queen City Angels.
You know, I think a lot of people hear the term angel investing, and they're not quite sure what that means. Tell us a little bit about how that works, in particular with regard to Queen City Angels.
Sure. Well, an angel investor is actually an accredited investor, which is a term that's a designation by the Securities and Exchange Commission. As a group of angel investors, the Queen City Angels invests in high-growth companies, startups, and entrepreneurs for businesses that are scalable. And we work with the entrepreneurs by coaching them. Sometimes we'll take a board seat for their company. We work with them to help scale their business. And, you know, the effect that it has on the economy is, you know, our investment in these companies and helping them grow actually creates jobs.
Well, and angel investors tend to be early stage investors, don't they? You're like the first people in after maybe family and friends.
Yeah, absolutely. So we encourage entrepreneurs to, if they don't have to take investment, to not take investment. So family and friends first, and then usually the angel investor is the next investor. And then typically what may happen after an angel investor, either a strategic buyer will take over or a venture capitalist will put investment in.
Well, and that's always a good result, isn't it, when there's new money coming in at a higher level?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Scott, thanks for that great information. If people want more information about Queen City Angels, what's the best place to contact you?
Best way to contact me is through my email is sjacobs at QCA.com. I did want to tell you about a program that's been around for 14 years, the Entrepreneur Bootcamp. We thank your firm for being a supporter of that program. It's a two-day program designed to help entrepreneurs and startups, and it's an extensive boot camp, and we help entrepreneurs everything from how to write their business plan, how to pitch to investors, how to write a strategic marketing plan, anything and everything an entrepreneur could possibly want to get their business started, and how to prepare their business to be investable. And we have a website for that particular event, www.qcabootcamp.com.
Well, that sounds great. And I've been to the boot camp before, and I know it's a great resource for people who are starting or thinking about starting a business. For BusinessWise, I'm Tom Cooney. I'm with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate.
I'm Crystal Faulkner, and this is BusinessWise. My guest today is Mark Hammond. Mark is a mortgage loan officer with Union Savings Bank. And Mark, I've been enjoying this beautiful spring, walking around our neighborhood. I'm seeing a lot more sold signs. Are the people buying these homes, are they people moving up, or many of them first-time home buyers?
It's a combination of buyers right now. We're seeing a lot of first-time home buyers, and that's definitely excellent because they need to come to see a mortgage loan officer to get pre-approved. So we're seeing a lot of first-time home buyers.
When you mentioned pre-approval, so what does that involve, and why is that so important?
It's very important because people are buying a house and they're not familiar with a lot of the intricacies in buying a house. So to get pre-qualified, I need to sit down with a client and discuss debt to income, credit, length on the job, and down payment. Hopefully the folks have at least 5% down and they can go with a conventional product. The FHA products have kind of fallen out of favor right now because of the high mortgage insurance.
Well, you know, Mark, it used to be you didn't have to have anything down. Those days are gone forever for the most part, aren't they?
They are gone forever, and it's probably a good thing because people now need to be qualified to buy a house, and they have to realize there's expenses when they do buy a house.
Have a little skin in the game.
That's correct.
So you mentioned this pre-approval process. I'm a real believer in planning, really taking proactive action to make sure you understand what you're getting yourself into. Someone who's interested in buying the house, can they just come in and talk to a mortgage loan officer before they even start house hunting to see where they stand, and maybe you can give them some advice like that?
That is correct. In fact, it's mostly required now by real estate agents that the buyers are pre-approved prior to them being shown houses. So it's a good idea to have your income, your debt to income put together, sit down with a mortgage loan officer and devise a plan to get in the house.
What about rules of thumb in terms of the amount of income that you need to support a certain type of loan? Is there any basic advice you have there?
I do. We generally work on gross income, so gross before tax income. And there's two ratios that we use. The first one is the mortgage ratio, and it is 28% of your gross income. And then when you count your student loans, your credit card, and your car payments, we should be no higher than 40% of your gross income.
Mark, thanks for that great advice. If someone listening today would like information, what is your contact?
My contact information is area code 513-300-5835. I'm available, and that's my cell phone. You can call or text.
Mark, thank you very much, and thank you for listening to BusinessWise. I'm Crystal Faulkner with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Crystal Faulkner, and this is BusinessWise. My guest today is Mark Hammond. Mark is a mortgage loan officer with Union Savings Bank. Mark, interest rates have been at historical lows for so long. Where are rates today, and do you see rates continuing at the low rate that they are now?
Well, Crystal, we are still at historic lows. We're still seeing a steady stream of people that are wanting to refinance their homes.
What would you say to someone who, for whatever reason, they haven't refinanced yet? Is it difficult to do that? What do they need to do to really start down that path?
Well, the biggest issue is the appraised value. A lot of folks could not refinance in the past because their house was less than they had bought it for. We're starting to see an uptick in sales prices, so more and more people are able to refinance.
What about credit scores and credit reports?
We can go down to about a 680 for a rate and term refinance.
For what?
A rate and term. There's two ways you can refinance your home. One is a rate and term where you simply pay off your existing first mortgage. There's another type of refinance called a cash out refinance where you're going to be pulling cash out of the house to pay off a junior lien on the house or to pay off other bills.
Okay, so just in closing, what advice would you have for someone? Do they need to have their financial statements together? What kind of information do they need to start accumulating to actually start down the refinancing path?
The best way is to get their W-2s for 2 years, pay stubs for 30 days, and 2 months bank statements. If they're self-employed or if they are on commission, they will need 2 years of tax returns.
Thanks for that great information. And if folks listening would like to contact you, what is your contact information?
My contact information is area code 513-300-5835. I'm available, and that's my cell phone. You can call or text.
Mark, thank you very much, and thank you for listening to Business Wise. I'm Crystal Faulkner with Cooney Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Crystal Faulkner, and this is Business Wise. My guest today is Mark Hammett. Mark is a mortgage loan officer with Union Savings Bank. And Mark, I know that you have been involved in this business for a long time. You've seen good times and you saw the bad times, and it seems like we're headed for more good times right now. What's your perspective?
I do feel like we are heading into a good stretch right now. The housing market is taking off very nicely in Cincinnati, and the prices are really going higher now.
And you offer loans, not only conventional loans, you offer different types of loans. Maybe you can share what those various options are and when someone might be interested in one versus the other.
We offer conventional VA and FHA loans. 80% of our business is the conventional mortgages. That's where you can put as low as 5% down with private mortgage insurance. If you have a decent credit score of 700, you can get into a house. Some people that don't have the credit score, we take them to an FHA product, and that's 3.5% down. And a VA product right now is 100% down, so there's no down payment with no PMI on the veterans loans.
The people that qualify for the veterans loans are only those that served in the military?
That's correct. They'll have a DD-214, their discharge papers, and that will allow them to get a veterans loan with zero down.
Are the loans difference in price? I mean, do they cost people different amounts in terms of loan costs and so forth?
They do cost a little bit differently on the VA versus the FHA, but if you are a veteran, the VA is the best program out there because you will not have PMI from day one.
What about folks listening in the area that might have farms or agriculture? Are there special loans for them?
There are, but we do not participate in those. That's more of a farm loan. You would need to call a farm bureau for that.
And those can be advantageous too if you can qualify.
That is correct, and there's a lot of money available for those folks.
And roughly, when you recommend to people in terms of getting these loans, I know the pre-approval process is very important. When and how long in advance of someone looking for a home should they come and visit with you?
They should probably come visit with us at least 2 to 3 months prior to looking at the house. It's not always possible to do that, but it's always good to do an analysis every few months to make sure that you're on track.
Well, certainly if your credit score is not where it needs to be, you need to know that sooner rather than later so you can take steps and actions to improve it before you try to get a loan.
That's correct. Credit is one of the major issues. If people have some problems with their credit, we need to try to work on that from day one and try to get that fixed.
Mark, if folks listening would like to contact you, what is your information?
My contact information is area code 513-300-5835. I'm available, and that's my cell phone. You can call or text.
Mark, thank you very much, and thank you for listening to Business Wise. I'm Crystal Faulkner with Cooney Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate.
I'm Tom Cooney, and this is Business Wise. Our guest today is Steve Hampton. Steven is the executive director of the Brewery District Community Urban Redevelopment Corporation, and it's basically known as the Brewery District, right?
Correct.
And how long has the Brewery District as a distinct legal organization been in existence?
We were started by volunteers and property owners and residents around 2002, 2003. We've been organized as a CURC since about 2005, but really grown this organization at a grassroots level to really help redevelop and repopulate the historic Brewery District in Cincinnati.
Well, and that's why I asked how long the legal organization's been around, because that's been the Brewery District for over a century, right?
It has. Cincinnati was one of the biggest brewing centers in the country, and with the introduction of lager beer in the 1840s and 1850s, the brewing scene in Cincinnati exploded. Had dozens and dozens of breweries, primarily located in over the Rhine and the West End, but a handful spread out throughout the region.
You've got some exciting things coming up this summer with the Brewery District.
Yeah, we are offering our historic brewery tours. We actually started these back in 2006, one of the first, actually the first large-scale heritage tours of Over the Rhine. And we have two different offerings this year, the Prohibition Resistance Lager Tour, as well as the Arnold's Brothels, Bootleggers, and Booze Tour. And both of those are walking tours, about 90 minutes, and talk about the city's history, its brewing history, and some of the other stories with that. And with both those, you actually get to go in some of the old brewing, lagering cellars themselves.
That sounds exciting. What about the brothels? Do you get to go in some of the old brothels as well?
By some accounts, Arnold's actually served that purpose at some point in the past. So you could say that that's certainly the case.
And if people are interested in getting more information about the brewery district or about the tours, where's the best place to contact you?
Our main website is otrbrewerydistrict.org for ticket information specifically for the tours, cincinnatibrewerytours.com.
Well, Steve, thanks for that great information. For BusinessWise, I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Tom Cooney, and this is BusinessWise. Our guest today is Stephen Hampton. Stephen is the executive director of the Brewery District Community Urban Redevelopment Corporation, and Stephen, it seems like you're right in the heat of where all the future development is going to be in the Over the Rhine. The Brewery District is really the area kind of north of Liberty, is that right?
Correct. The area north of Liberty is where most of Cincinnati's historic breweries were physically located, and we have that amazing building stock still there. And that is correct. That's really the next opportunity. It's a little different challenge than south of Over the Rhine because these are bigger buildings, because they're much larger development challenges, but they're also much bigger potential. And so we're really excited as people are coming to the neighborhood and seeing that as the next phase.
Well, and as executive director of the Brewery District, what is your role? Do you try to highlight the historic nature of the Brewery District and what's there today?
Yeah, our goal is really to use the resources that we have, the assets of our historic brewing heritage and the urban, walkable kind of neighborhood that is Over the Rhine. And we have a master plan we're working towards with a number of initiatives to help really bring the neighborhood up for residents, both new and existing, visitors, and businesses, and really trying to make that a better area for everybody to attract that to development.
There are actually now operating breweries in the Brewery District again, I guess I should say.
Yeah, it's great to see. We're really, our goal is to see craft-based businesses repopulate these buildings, which certainly breweries are a great example of that, making a product and you know, it's got a tax base, it's got jobs, it's got all those good things, as well as it attracts people. It brings people to the neighborhood as well. So it's really doing double duty, and we love to see businesses like that.
Well, and if people just want to see what's going on down there, one way to do it is through some of the tours that you offer.
Correct. We offer two different tours over the course of the summer. They're 90-minute walking tours. Both of them tell the city's history and actually visit into some of these old historic brewery buildings.
Well, and it's really interesting. And I know I've done the brewery run, which runs past a lot of these breweries, maybe all of them, I'm not sure. Felt like I ran past a lot of them. It is interesting how many there were.
Yeah, again, we have the largest collection of pre-Prohibition brewery architecture in the country, and it is this amazing asset spread through this really intact historic neighborhood. It's pretty rare to see this thing anywhere across the country.
Well, Stephen, thanks for that great information. If people want more information about the Brewery District or the tours, what's the contact info?
Our website is otrbrewerydistrict.org, or for brewery tour tickets and info, cincinnatibrewerytours.com.
Well, thanks, Stephen. For BusinessWise, I'm Tom Cooney. I'm with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate.